One of the big questions that as a church, and indeed as individual Christians, that we need to be able to answer is, why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our role? What is our function? What is the reason for us being here? What is the mission of the church? And actually, that's something that Kirk Session and indeed you as a congregation have been grappling with over these last number of months as we've tried to fill the vacancy here in Ballywillan. And I think it's important that you know just how hard the Kirk Session have been working at this and how much prayer and thought they have put into answering this question, not just as they try to identify the qualities of the next person who may or may not be minister and occupy the pulpit here, but as they try to think through the nature of the ministry that we as a church are involved with. And at the heart of this grappling, at the heart of trying to answer this question, actually is another question that a lawyer once asked Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, in that way that he seemed to be able to do, answered this question with another question. He answered in a way that encouraged this guy to think for himself. What is written in the law? How do you read it? In other words, what do you think the answer is? Quoting from Deuteronomy, the man then said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This guy actually answered Jesus well. He understood that most basic of Old Testament calls is not only just to worship God, but to devote ourselves to God, to give ourselves to him completely. But he also picked up on that sometimes forgotten Old Testament theme that actually in giving ourselves to God, we're also to open ourselves up to our neighbors, to the people who live around us, not just in the sense of the other Jews who might have lived down the street, but to the aliens who would come into the camp, into the city, into the land. The asylum seekers, refugees, visitors who were bound to come among God's people. Actually, don't ever limit that to people who come from foreign lands. You know, it's about welcoming the folks in our community who maybe have all sorts of issues and problems, the sort of people that maybe we're inclined to keep at an arm's length. But maybe one day they would come in among us. Maybe we would have some interaction with them. And it was this part of the answer, who is our neighbor? Who are the people we welcome that this guy actually struggled with? Because we're told he wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In other words, how many people do I have to help? How far do I have to go? Is it the people who come here directly without coming through, you know, so-called safe countries to get here? Surely it's not the people in boats who come here illegally, because actually what we really want to do is stick them on a plane and fly them off to somewhere like Rwanda. Thankfully, that policy's been knocked on the head. And actually, if we do keep them here, what we'll do is stick them on a barge, which is more akin to a prison ship. Hopefully that policy too will soon be knocked on the head. Lord, who is my neighbor? And as I said, don't ever limit that question just to folks who come to our country. There are other people that we keep at arm's length. I met a guy this week who has all sorts of problems. Who's had a shocking life in many ways. Who has hurt people. Who has been hurt. Who hurts himself. And you look at his arm; it is just marked where he has hurt himself because doing that eases the pain that he feels in here. Is he my neighbor? Difficult to be around. Is he my neighbor? And it was an answer to that question that Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. A man coming down the hill from Jerusalem to Jericho was set upon by some robbers. He was beaten and he was left for dead, but fortunately for this guy, that road's a busy road, and so there were bound to be people coming past. And actually, that day, three people came past. First two, good Jewish people, one a priest, one a Levite. Sort of people who would be here today. Luckily for him, we walked past. But actually, we just kept walking. We're not told why they didn't stop. We're just told they kept walking. The third was a Samaritan. Someone who would have been looked down on by this Jewish audience who were listening to the story. And he was the one who stopped, who cared for the man, who bandaged him up, took him away to an inn, paid for his keep, paid for his care. And actually, the way in which Jesus told this story would have been an insult to the people who were listening. Traditionally in Northern Ireland, we've tried to tell it in terms of, you know, two Protestants walk past and a Catholic stop. That's a lot of nonsense. That doesn't even touch the sides of what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, we walked past. And actually, the folks that we don't have the time of day for, whether they're involved in drugs, whether they're involved in antisocial behavior, whether they're involved in something else, they were the ones who stopped. The story centers around this man who was beaten up, a man who was oppressed, a victim of injustice, a prisoner of a cruel and sinful world. Someone who was subject to a selfish, sinful, and in many ways a completely and utterly meaningless act of violence. And this man is a picture of what it is to live in our world. We're all, to one extent or another, beaten down by this world. We're oppressed. All of us have experienced the brutality of this world, whether it's through illness, whether it's through death of a loved one, whether it's through the general struggle and hardship of life, whether it's through that sense of rejection that many of us feel. Because these are the things that come from Adam and Eve's disobedience. We're told about them. And our world is full of people like this man. How many in our world are living in abject poverty? How many are the victims of violence, whether it's domestic or sectarian or just plain meaningless violence because somebody has decided they want something that belongs to somebody else? And it isn't just that we're trapped in sin. For many of us, we're living with what it means to the outworkings of injustice. Is it fair that I have enough food to eat, that I will go home today? And because it's our house, it'll probably be chicken, because it's always chicken on a Sunday. But we will have chicken and potatoes and veg, and there will be plenty. And actually, you know, there's going to be so much left over, we'll still be eating chicken by about Wednesday. Is that fair? Within someone living within a mile of my house will have nothing. Or is it fair that I was born into a wealthy country and someone else was born into war and destitution or famine? Or is it fair that actually when tragedy has come into my life, that there have been enough people around me to help and support me, so I've been able to get through it, when within a mile of my house there will be people living with heartache and heartbreak, and they are on their own and they carry the weight of it by themselves? You know, in Jesus' story, if anybody should have known what it was to be rescued from these conditions, it should have been the Levite and the priest, because they grew up with the stories of the Exodus. They knew the stories of how God intervened with the 10 plagues. They knew how he had heard Israel's cries and he acted and he delivered them and he took them across the Red Sea and he led them into the Promised Land. They knew those stories. That was part of their DNA. They should have understood the whole concept of what it means to be rescued and redeemed and to be picked up when you're at your lowest. And yet they walked by. And yet we walk by. Did they just not care? Or had they forgotten? Or was it that actually the real meaning of the story never really impacted them? They didn't really understand what God had done for them. And so they took their freedom from slavery and oppression for granted. They had no compassion, no understanding, no heart response to what God had done for them. Then we had the Samaritan. Why on earth was he in Jerusalem? He wouldn't have been terribly welcome there, especially not around somewhere like Passover. Was it that he'd actually become a believer? And so had he been in the temple? Had he been in the court of the Gentiles? Had he been worshiping? We don't know. Had he found some acceptance in God? And so he understood what it was to be delivered and redeemed? Whatever the reason, he stopped. And at great personal cost, he cared for this man. He paid for his care. He paid for his hospital bills and all from his own pocket. Have we understood what Jesus has done for us? Has what Jesus has done for us, has the cross, has our redemption, our salvation impacted us so that we live in a way that reflects that? We started by talking about why we're here, why does the church exist? In Port Stewart, we've been doing a lot of work around our mission statement and how we live that out. And we said that we're a church, that we're here to worship God, to serve our community, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't remember the Ballywellan one. I know it's to know God loving. It's always written down in front of me. It's to know Christ and to lovingly make him known. Do we get that? Do we understand that? Has it impacted us? For us to live this mission statement, we need to understand what Christ has done for us. We need to have realized just where we have been lifted from and where we've been set. that we've been redeemed from a sinful world, that we have been released from all of the oppression of that, that Jesus Christ has given his life in order that we might be set free. Jesus told this story to explain that if we're truly to worship God, if we're truly to serve him, if we're truly to proclaim his gospel, if we're truly to know Christ, and if we are truly to lovingly make him known, then that's about reflecting back what we've experienced in Jesus. It's about acknowledging just what we've been set free from, that we're no longer in Egypt. We're not under the oppressive consequences of sin, but we have the hope and promise of glory that we've been redeemed and delivered, and it's the impact of that in our lives that allows us to live out these statements. The Good Samaritan redeemed the man who was beaten up by paying the price to make him well again. How are we paying the price to free our community, to free the people around us from poverty, from addiction, from domestic violence, from poor educational outcomes, and everything else that blights our community? We can be tempted to say, well, the NHS is there, that the welfare state is there, that this is there, that's there, the other's there. Is that really reflecting what Christ has done for us? I heard of a conversation this week again where, in the context of prayer ministry, where somebody was talking about someone who had incredible mental health problems and was suffering in all sorts of ways, and how do we offer prayer ministry into that situation? And the comment was made, well, you quickly move them on to the NHS. Now, it may well be that they need medical help, but is that really all that we have to offer? When Jesus said that he'd come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to give the return sight to the blind, when he'd come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, is that really what he meant for us to do? Pass the problem on to someone else. Is that what it means to reflect back the love of a Savior who came to us and freely gave to us, who promoted us to the status of co-heirs? If we want to know Christ and lovingly make him known, we've got to start treating the people that we meet, regardless of where they're from, as though they were co-heirs with us, as though they were equal to us, not as people reaching down to help someone. Things like United Appeal are important. They help, for example, prisoners who've been released on parole by funding the work in places like Thompson House. And I know we do collections to send off to Thompson House, and that's good. But it's all still a bit arm's length. Surely we need to do more with the people around us. In our local school in Port Stewart, 42% of the children are on free school meals. I read somewhere this week that actually the average in Northern Ireland is 28%. And we know there are all kinds of social and family difficulties in the community because of that. And how are we helping to lift those people out of those situations and make life better for them? And there will be issues, similar issues here in Ballywillan. They may not necessarily be the same issues. I don't know what the figures are for the school here. But there are problems. And so that's why the work that Chris is doing is so important. It's why the work that Christine heads up with the the asylum seekers is so important. It's why whenever they appeal for help, it is so important that we as a congregation get involved. That as a church we change and improve the lives of the people around us. Jesus finished the story by asking, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And of course, the only possible answer was the Samaritan, the one who had mercy. And so Jesus leaves us with the challenge, go and do likewise. Be more like the Samaritan and less like the priest or the Levite. Reach out in a way that redeems the people with whom we live, people we work with, the people that we share Port Stewart, Ballywillan, and Port Rush with, the people that we share this world with. Because we have much to offer in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to what you have done for us, what you have redeemed us from, and what you have promoted us to. Whenever we walk that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, what do we see? Who do we see? Who are the people we juke past? Who are the people we see their numbers on our phones and we think, oh. Who are the folks that we think are deserving of the situation they find themselves in? And what is this story teaching us? How should we be reacting? What is Christ calling us to? What is it to reflect his love to those people? Lord, open our eyes to what is really happening on that road. And show us what it is to respond as you would respond. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.